call the July meeting of the Parks Facilities Gulf Highway Division Committee meeting to order. The, for our youth and governance, everyone else has been to a meeting out here at the Pringle Nature Center. This is one of our county parks. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, have been out here. It is run by the Pringle Group. It is run by the naturalist Val Mann, who is, I'll introduce here in a minute, and Barry Thomas is the administrator. It is a nonprofit naturalist program, again, run by them, and it's a nature center. And it's one of our little hidden county parks that many people do know about. So once a year, we try to have our meeting out here and have the Pringle people host us. It's haunted them a couple times when we had some highway department problems and they had to be here until 10:30, 11 o'clock one night. Remember Barry having to close the doors for us when we had a contentious meeting out here one July. This is not gonna be like that, Barry. So, we'll do our regular business out here and it gives everybody a chance to see the park. And to, as I said, run the park, run the programs. They do report to the county, and I think you'll see in one of your packets the minutes from their resources and where they're headed. So it's a very neat aspect of our county park system. So I, Barry, would you like to say anything this evening or?
Sure. Thank you and welcome. We always are glad to have you out here once a year so we can share some of the things that are going on here. And also to thank you for the support that you get from Kenosha County. It is much appreciated. But a few other board members here that I'll introduce. Warren Lyson, Vice President. Kate Weichel, Volunteer Coordinator. Al Summer, Secretary. And a naturalist, Valerie Mann. And I'm sure you follow a lot of the things in the newspaper. There's a lot of things going on out here. And most of that is due to the effort of we do depend a lot on our volunteers that Kate gets for us, but Valerie's really the person that makes things happen out here. And so I'll give her an opportunity to highlight some of the things that have happened this year. I think we should pass that up to the copies of the report. So thank you.
So, thank you again for coming here tonight. It's been a really good year for us. A lot more people are seeing us and finally deciding to come out to a lot of our events. Last weekend, 2 weekends ago, we had our annual campout that the National Wildlife Federation does, and it was a lot of first-time families bringing their kids out to go camping here. And also the same night, the Racine Astronomical Society brought a bunch of telescopes because it was a perfect night that night to look at the moon. I think it was like Venus and Jupiter and Saturn or something. And they were really enthusiastic about being able to come down here because we've got the perfect sky to do that sort of thing. We've got a lot more volunteers coming out, helping us out with school programs, with our invasive species workday, more and more schools are now bringing more than one grade level. Usually it's just one grade level, but now they're bringing all sorts of different grade levels. So we're hoping to eventually set up a meeting with the new superintendent to try and get more schools out here as well. Our public programs are still, weather dependent. People like to stay huddled up if it's any hint of cold or storminess. Again, we're working with the city, with the Bird City, and we're going to hold our festival once again in September with the city, the museums, Hoy Audubon, which is the local birding club, and is that everybody who's in the county? I think that's everybody. We're doing a little bit more with fundraising and grants. We have a student from Carthage who helped us create a corporate sponsorship package, so we're hoping to get a few donors from the different companies that are starting to move in now to help us out. We also got cold called a couple months ago from Patagonia in Chicago. The person who works there actually came to this park as a kid and was one of her favorite memories, and she wanted, you know, to help us out. So they're gonna, I haven't heard recently from her, but in a couple weeks they're having an eco night, which we're gonna have a booth at to try and get some people from Chicago to kind of come on up this way to enjoy the park. But Patagonia is gonna hopefully support us. We're also building the Nature Center as a resource for teachers and the public. Last year I became trained to lead Project Learning Tree curriculum to train the teachers. Also a few weeks ago I went to a workshop. The DNR has a program called Green and Healthy Schools, and now they're trying to get nature centers and green organizations to come on board as providers to help schools keep that green and healthy school status. I redid the website, which has gotten us a few more calls for people wanting to rent the building. Still feeling some calls from people who are like, yes, I'd like to rent the building. And they're actually talking about pavilion down at the first parking lot. But it's at least, you know, getting us more people, and word of mouth is spreading with our children's birthday parties. So we're going through a few growing pains, but they're good growing pains. And I think that's it for the year. Are there any questions for me?
Thank you very much, Beth. Yes, you folks do a wonderful job. I've never seen anyone that is in the Kenosha News as often as you are. I mean, it's great. It's very smart. You get that name, you keep that name in there. I mean, it jumps out at me every time, you know, and I'm sure to everybody.
And I did have the county exec come to one of my programs, but his son wanted to do other things, so they left like halfway through.
Fickle people.
Yeah.
Politicians. One item I missed, but I think one of you probably got it. We have two supervisors that are excused, Supervisor Poole and Grady.
Yep.
Youth and Governance are both here. And also here is our new Assistant Parks Director. Now, probably everyone's met him, but maybe John, let you do a little introduction of Matt Flynn. I think he's with us now for 5 weeks. I think I met you maybe 4 weeks ago.
Well, this is Matthew Collins, and Matthew came here from Milwaukee County Parks, where he had the Southeastern District.
That's correct.
How many parks?
I had 11 parks total, 2,500 acres worth of county property I managed in that responsibility.
And Matt, I was probably a little bit more of a superintendent's position, but he has the knowledge and the education to do the director's job from everything we see. I would rather let Matt list what's on his resume because I can't remember it all, but if you wouldn't mind, just say.
I'd be more than happy to. So I have 14 years of park experience with Milwaukee County. And basically, going through high school and college, it's always been a passion of mine to work in the parks, and I decided that to make that into my career option. So working with Milwaukee County gave me a wide variety of opportunities to learn different functions of the parks field, not only with operations, but I have my managerial experience, marketing and administration as well. So I really diversified my portfolio, not only with my experience per se with Milwaukee County, but I'm a lifelong student too. So I graduated from UW-Whitewater with my undergrad. I received associates in supervisory management. Also I have certificates in sustainable facilities operations and project management. And currently still going to school for my MBA. So I'm about halfway through with that program as well. So I anticipate graduating with my MBA this coming February. So That's really important just to be well-rounded, like I said, not only with my experience in the field and operations, but having those attributes with my education and leadership to make sure that I can support my team around me.
So we, everyone that I've talked to, from the top on down, has been very happy that you're here, Matt, and John was very pleased, and so I would say if you keep John happy here for a year, so we'll all be happy.
Perfect.
And then you keep him happy and everything's fine.
He's still smiling.
Yes, he is.
It's fun. It's fun. Matt's a sponge, so it's good.
Very good to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's see. Citizens' comments. Oh, no. Any other committees, members, or youth and governance, any comments this evening? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. If anyone would like to address the committee on any item that pertains to facilities, parks, golf, highways. If not, we'll move on. Division reports. Frank, you're first.
Mr. Chairman, just an update on the KCAP project. All the punch list items have not been closed out on that project. We're just down to the warranty items, and we're closing that out as they come up here. So that's we're weaning our way down on that. Going on to something kind of more visually fun is our building demolition project. So I handed out two pictures. The first one is the unemployment building, which was a fixture downtown forever. And as you can see, this was as of this morning. That's Al Brockmeyer walking by in front with a shirt on, a orange shirt. And they're actually picking the steel off of this building. We expect to have this building and that site completely done by July 20th. And as part of that site, we have all the plans and paperwork going through the city for the new parking lot. So they gave us some initial feedback and we resubmitted it to the city. The second photo is the Zanani building site. That one is that's just concrete from the floor of the building. And he's actually grinding up that concrete. You can see the larger pieces, and you can see the smaller pieces in back. He's actually gonna be utilizing that, and with the city's okay, to fill in the basement of the unemployment building. And then we're compacting it. So that's gonna be, it already has cleared up that whole area quite a bit. Any questions on the demos?
Is the city letting him grind right in town?
Pardon me?
Is the city letting him grind right in town?
Yes, right there.
Jeez.
They're getting,
right there.
They're getting friendlier and friendlier.
Depends what day of the week.
Yeah. I better watch my comments about that.
We're on a roll, so we're doing pretty good. The Zanani property will be, we're hoping to have that by the end of the month substantially complete. The driveway aprons and things, they're booked out quite a ways for concrete, as we're finding this time of year and these smaller jobs. So that'll probably be in September that we take care of the aprons. But this, it'll all be seated and substantially complete. We're looking at the end of July. Any questions? One thing I did want to mention, we also have a project out at Brookside. All of the doors there, they have emergency egress systems on it, and the system is failing. What it is if somebody goes to open up the door, that they push on the door, in this case a latch, and if they hold it for 5 seconds, it'll alarm, and then after 15 seconds, it'll open. That system was failing, and also they had a wander management system for people that had dementia or people that wanted to escape from the facility, and they didn't want them to go out on the road or get hurt. So we're replacing that system, and it has a wrist tag or a tag on their ankle, and it'll alarm if they go out of certain wings or they try to go out the main door. So that system is on its last leg. So we're in the process of installing new systems for them. That's it for my report.
Okay. I'm not sure if I mentioned this at our last meeting, but again, this would be for the new people here. These buildings that you have the pictures of that are being torn down, they are all in close proximity to the administration building where you had your swearing-in,
right,
and the courthouse. And what we're doing here, and with great foresight, that is when something becomes available, since there is no land for our downtown campus to add to it, we definitely can't relocate a courthouse and administration building. We're purchasing these properties. And demolishing the one is going to be a parking lot. We'll hold property for future development for the county, but that's what these pictures are, things that are being torn down for future county development for that downtown campus. So if no one has any other things for Frank, we will move to Gary.
The first item I have tonight is consideration of a resolution authorizing the submission of a Wisconsin Department of Transportation Facilities for Economic Assistance grant application. I'll explain that in a second, but first give you a little background on the project that this involves. Early this year, the city of Kenosha annexed the area west of I-94, roughly bounded by I-94, 128th Street to the west, Highway 142 to the north, and Highway N to the south. That area, the property owner requested the annexation, and it was subsequently approved by the city. Now that it has been annexed, there's been interest in developing the property. There is numerous parties involved in this. There's a developer that it's Bridge Development. Uline, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, the local business. The city and the county are all involved in this process to get this development going. Our particular participation and for the most part the city too is to make sure that the appropriate infrastructure is constructed for the project, and infrastructure being roadways, utilities, sewer, water, that type of thing. At this point, Uline has committed to building an 800,000 square foot warehouse along with an 80,000 square foot office building on this site. Being in the type of business that they are, there's a lot of distribution, a lot of truck traffic, employee traffic. Traffic impact analysis was completed, and one of the necessary improvements is the reconstruction of Highway N from I-94 to 128th Street. I did bring a location map for you. Yes, I'm done. It might help you, it might hurt you, I'm not sure. That does show you the segment of County Trunk Highway N that is necessary to be reconstructed for the project. The project has an estimated cost of $3.5 million to reconstruct that segment of Highway N. And in order to assist the developer and the business, they would ask the county to be a joint applicant for what we refer to as a T grant. A T grant provides up to $1 million of the cost of the infrastructure to assist getting the development going and providing that necessary improvements. A T grant must have joint applicants. It must have a private business co-sponsor and then a municipal co-sponsor. In this case, the it would be a joint application of Uline and Kenosha County for the grant. And again, we would be requesting $1 million in assistance from the state. The resolution that I brought before you tonight authorizes the application of the for the grant. It doesn't necessarily approve the acceptance of the money itself. It's what we're trying to do now is get a little bit ahead of the process and be ready to submit this application when a few more steps still need to take place are completed. And I'll go over those in a second. So the resolution would authorize myself to execute the application for the funding for the T grant. And like I said, it's for $1 million. In the application, it will clearly indicate that there are no county funds involved in this whatsoever. This is zero cost to the county for this project. The application will have as funding source the developer at $2.5 million and the state at $1 million. The one component that the county would be responsible for, and we've done this on other T grant applications, is the state requires a job guarantee on the, in order to receive these funds. The and that job guarantee would, in the application, be the responsibility of the municipality, in this case, Kenosha County. Uline has indicated that they're going to create approximately 240 jobs by this development. That's not necessarily how many the state's going to require us to guarantee. It'll be significantly less than that that we're actually going to guarantee. There's a formula that they use. But there's a period of 10 years that we're basically guaranteeing that those jobs are going to stay as a result of the grant application. So that would be a requirement of the county. Now, as part of the resolution also, this grant application will not take place until there's a fully executed memorandum of understanding between Kenosha County and Uline and the city of Kenosha and the developer. All the parties have to agree to the responsibilities involved, and in our case, it will outline specifically that Kenosha Kenosha County is not funding any portion of this, and that actually that if in fact there's a default on the job guarantee, that Uline would be responsible for that payback cost, because the state would actually require the payback of that grant should the jobs disappear within the 10-year period. Resolution was reviewed by both Jim Kupfer and Dave Gertson at the Finance Department. They both approved the resolution with the addition of one statement that would authorize the administration to make any necessary budget modifications resulting from accepting the grant. Now that doesn't involve any cash. What happens with this is that there's a pass-through of $1 million. $1 million comes to the county, and then we pass it through to the developer to cover their construction costs. So it's mostly allowing that bookkeeping function to take place. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that the resolution would also authorize the administration being the finance department. So that's the resolution. I know it's a little bit difficult to follow this all, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if you had them. And this also needs to go to the finance committee. Okay.
Well, I think it's pretty simple, Gary. You explained it well. So it's something that we've done in the past. And any questions from anybody?
Just one quick question. If the city is involved, is it just usually a county function to apply for these demands, or how come they're not doing it?
The city is doing an identical grant application for the construction of 128th Avenue.
Oh, okay.
The 128th Avenue portion is under the city's jurisdiction. Highway N is under the county's jurisdiction. They're doing the identical thing we're doing.
And let's say you're in those jobs for the road. You might have mentioned it here, just what would the county's obligation be then, for some reason, Uline moves up?
Under the memorandum of understanding, Uline would be responsible to pay back those costs.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion to
approve.
Second. Moving second to approve and send this resolution on to the Finance Committee. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
So do you have an original?
Yes.
Maybe give it to Mike and we'll bring it on.
Then under reports, we had our first public informational meeting on the Highway F project that's being proposed out in the town of Randall and the village of Twin Lakes. Might have read a little bit about it in the newspaper. The purpose of the meeting was just an introductory meeting to the public. This is at the point right now where there's been no detailed design done on the high for this project. It's very conceptual in nature. We wanted to introduce it to the public, get their feedback on it. I thought the meeting was very successful.
What did you want?
Successful doesn't necessarily mean that everybody is happy and approves of the project. You know, really a successful meeting gets some dialogue going and some comments. There's clearly some people that are opposed to the project, and there was clearly people that thought the project was going to work well for the community. So in these kind of meetings, it's not unusual for the people that are in opposition to be much more vocal than the people that are opposed. them. So we had a lot of very good comments, you know, even involving the proposed design. We're going to take all that into consideration, the good, the bad, the approval, the opposition, all that will be taken into consideration, and we will be adapting all that into our decision on how we move forward with the project. So it's a little bit early yet. We haven't, you know, I'm sure we're going to receive more information about from the public, and we have our own work to do before we would do any detailed engineering. So it's a really good time to do this type of thing, because the plans have not been advanced to a point where we would have to make a lot of changes or do different modify the design. So overall, I thought it was a very successful meeting, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more of that as time goes on. Otherwise, we're full into all of our improvement projects. We've got paving projects that contractors are doing for us, and our own paving projects. Everything's really moved along well so far, and I think all indications are we should have another successful year in getting our improvement projects completed.
Okay. Just a question?
Nope. Just a couple comments. I want to thank you for your efforts on getting the Washington Street Highway as Highway 142 railroad crossing fixed, because without you bird dogging it, it might never have taken place. So thank you, because it's, well, I go to Highway a lot.
Yeah.
It's much better. And the highway became unspectacular. So thank you guys. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Great.
So, Chairman, I was just going to add to what Gary's comments about the Highway F meeting, is that although this was the first meeting, because it's formally now funding is available to pursue this thing, the actual concept has been around for, I think, at least a decade via sewer PACs, kind of master planning for the traffic.
It's longer than that.
1970s.
Couple decades.
It's, I knew it was 35 years, like 10 years ago. 5 years ago, you know, it's been
a
long
time.
But there is an online petition against it already. So.
Oh, yes. So, hopefully we can respond positively to that.
We'll be fine. It's like the dog park. Now they're worried we're going to hurt the dog park. They didn't want the dog park. The same guy. The same guy came up to me at the Citgo the other day. What are you going to do with that dog park? He was afraid of the dog park. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's always interesting.
We own the dog park. It's ours. So anybody have any questions for Gary?
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Mr. Rudy.
The first thing I have is a letter requesting to repurpose a balance that was left over in our line item for the purchase of two utility vehicles, and that's would be for a piece of equipment to maintain mountain bike trails. It's called a Rokon. It's pretty much basically a two-wheel drive motorcycle, because the mountain bike trails are single track, so they're about this wide, a cow path. This machine would pull a compactor in the summer and a groomer in the winter on the trails for the fat bikes and for mountain bikes to ride all winter. The reason we have a little money left is I believe it's the state of Arizona every year does a kind of a blanket bid with Toro for all of the equipment. And we're able to purchasing is able to piggyback on that bid. So we got a little bit better pricing than we were expecting, and it left a balance of $8,695 in there, and the piece of equipment that we're requesting to use that money for is $8,100. and they're, I believe they're built, is it Minnesota?
But Northern Wisconsin.
Northern Wisconsin. And there's only other one other piece of equipment out there that we could find, but we didn't want to buy something from the Ukraine. So we thought maybe parts would be a challenge. So this is proven itself, grooming mountain bike trails and everything, and just asking for your support to repurpose that money and purchase it.
So this is a letter that you send to finance. It's really not, but eventually you'll have to have a change in budget provision, correct?
No.
This is within the same appropriation level, motorized vehicles at the park, so we need is finance committee approval.
Okay.
We always come to you first to make sure it's all right with you before
right.
We do that.
If it's under a certain amount.
Yeah.
So any questions on that? Pretty clear. Maybe so finance knows our intentions. We have a motion to
I'll make the motion. Move.
Second.
Move a second to approve the theory behind the mountain bike grooming purchase. All those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, I have attached the Real Nature Center's correspondence financials. I have nothing new to report at Katy Park. Current projects, there's a few pictures attached. The paving is all done, the curb and parking lot is in. The parking lots are all striped down at Kemper and 66th. What we need to finish up yet is the restoration around the parking lots and the curbing. There's two sets of gates that have to go onto the bike path yet to keep vehicular traffic off of it. And the street lighting for the parking lots and 66th Street, those poles are on order. We just can't get them. We're expecting them about the third week in July, and that would wrap that project up. Braindale Lift Station is complete. When we did the final walkthrough, there were just some minor things that WANASEC had to take care of yet, and I haven't been notified that that's finished. The re-roof on the Fox River Storage Building, the carpentry work is all done. There's a picture in there. It's basically a flat roof, and they put, I'll call it a lean-to roof, with trusses, and it's all tied back in, so it's watertight, but again, the contractor is having trouble getting steel, so he expects that about the end of July too, and then that project will be finished. The emerald ash tree, or the ash tree removal, there's no change on that. We're just waiting for winter to be able to have the logger come in. The Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trail, there's no change on that. I know, I think I talked to you that the coach of the Central High School mountain bike team was holding clinics out there to get youth involved more in the mountain biking, to be able to build teams at Wilmot and hopefully some of the other high schools in the area. The Ho-Chunk property, I did speak with their attorney last week, and he had amnesia, he couldn't remember. So I had to forward John Moyer's email back to him that we had sent him not quite a year ago, and I didn't receive a response once I did that. No cannon yet for Petrifying Springs. We're still waiting on that. The building, the Bugman building at Pets, there's no change on that. We did reroute the electric and the water for number 5 washroom, went through it, and we did run that around the building, so anytime the Summers Fire Department wants to burn that down, they can. We are still having a lifeguard shortage. We did pick up a few more, but we're still running too short. So if you know anybody, again, that's a lifeguard, we need the help. Grant status, I do have in for, again, I submitted for the grants for the roads and parking lots in KD Park and for a mountain bike trail facility in KD Park. We won't hear anything. I might get a heads up around the end of July where we ranked, but we wouldn't get the award until December. The Silver Lake well, there's one well that's 1,300 feet deep that services that whole park. and the pump went out on it 2 weeks ago. And the well casing was so rusted when they tried to pull the pump, it jammed coming up. So the decision was made, we cut it loose and dropped it to the bottom of the well and installed a different pump. The company tried everything. They tried acid washing the casing. They tried brushing it. They tried running food grade mineral oil down there to try and lube it. And the pump was only, I believe, three eighths of an inch smaller than the diameter of the well casing. And with all that rust and scale in there, it just jammed. We couldn't get it all the way out. So the decision was made to drop it down in because there's no way we were going to get it out. So we're back up and running, but not drinking water. We haven't got a safe test back. Now, one other thing, at Petrifying Springs, when we had rebuilt the roadways and parking lots in there, we had put in, I'll call them stormwater filters in the islands and the parking lots and built retention basins. And we planted natural grasses in there, but they came up pretty much as weeds. So Joe Rancho killed it off with Roundup and worked it up and seeded it into a wildflower mix. And if anybody's been to Pets, that's been one of the biggest draws we've had so far out there for photo opportunities. It's just nonstop. Everybody's out there with their cameras, and I expect to see probably 200 pictures of the same thing at the county fair and the photography thing. Right. It's just really a great opportunity. I know it was on the front page of the newspaper too. Is it a week ago, I believe? So,
last week.
And that's all I have.
Thank you, John. If you get that mix from the University of Wisconsin, the wildflower mix, and there's a couple other locally grown ones, I'm sure that's why you're, because if you buy the prairie in a can stuff at the garden center, you know, you won't get that. But a lot of people don't realize what planting wildflowers takes, and, you know, to get a successful season after season after season. It has to be things that will grow here. The Kenosha News have a color picture of it? Did the Kenosha News have a color picture?
Color picture?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, it must have been a Sunday paper.
No, it was a Wednesday, I think, yeah. Wasn't it? It was in the middle of the week.
There was another one on Sunday's paper.
Oh, they did?
That somebody, a person said that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, John. We'll move on to golf.
Things are going well in the golf areas. Our next big initiatives are the Kenosha County Open, which will be at the end of July, the 24th through the 26th, and the Ladies Open at Petrifying Springs on the 18th, and we have the Junior County Open next week. So those are all the upcoming events. The Junior Clinics and PGA Junior League is going really well. Our defending champion, Brightondale Links, even though now it's all reorganized, we were able to expand our junior league. We have a team for Petrifying Springs and a team for Brightondale, and there's two teams at Strawberry Creek. So that's our league. Currently, our junior golf clinics, we have 100 kids. We do Wednesday mornings and then Wednesday and Thursday evenings at Petrifying Springs, and going really well, teaching the youth. So that's great. The Caddy Academy is going really well. The caddies are learning a lot. The people are really enjoying it, getting a lot of comments in my email from people that are really having fun. They're hooked on the caddy Kool-Aid, as they put it, you know, so they said that they'll be back. You know, there's a challenge out there to see how many rounds you can play with the caddy, you know, before they end by middle of August, so that's going well. They had a great 3rd of July. Had almost 1,000 rounds, 700 at Brightondale, 300 at Pets. So that was a great part of our weekend this weekend. We're receiving outstanding comments on the golf course. Everybody is raving about the greens, of the greens and how well the golf course conditions are. So really happy about that. We're working the sand traps a lot more this year. So even those are coming around a little bit. Are full of fill, and the cart paths at Pets really are starting to deteriorate, so we'll be looking to spring, so she's going to be leaving in the middle of August, so that's really going to put a cramp in our... So we've got some contingency plans. We're working through looking at some different opportunities for people and see if we can't find a suitable replacement for the end of the month here, but that's going to be a challenge, for sure. The projects that we're working on, we hope that we have the highway department paving the maintenance shop yard and road Petrifying Springs. We'll see it on that. Prattendale Links, we're going to have the deep well looked at. Now that John's got some good information from Silver Lake, I'll have to find out about that. And we're upgrading the fence. The fence looks really good around the wastewater treatment plant at Prattendale. It's all that green coated chain link fence, so it really looks better. And we got to still upgrade some of the equipment, but we got some good news on the pricing on that. We thought it was going to be about $25,000, and it's actually going to come in around $19,000, so that's good news for that. So things are going well.
Very good. Any questions for Dan?
If that will move. Mr. Chairman, on the CADI program, I should make the assumption that the patients are, if they so choose, are able to tip, right?
Yep. The CADI.
And then why aren't we suspending it in the middle of August when school doesn't start until the end of, or beginning of September?
It's a pilot program. Okay. You know, we're the first ones in the nation to do this, you know, outside of a private club in Colorado, and we just wanted to, you know, start it and end it on a positive note, you know, so that's what it was decided. It was going to be an 8-week program, and that's what the funding, you know, was set up for. And our CADI master, you know, is going to be there for those amount of weeks. And so right now, the CADI Leadership Academy is approaching Milwaukee County for next year, as possibly moving up there also.
I think it's a great program. And, thanks for pursuing that. Yeah, I think it's excellent for you. I can't even my day, and it was a great experience, you know.
Right.
You had to earn your money, that's for sure. And, but it taught you a lot of good values that you pay for. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Dan. We'll move on to Mike.
Three different things to talk about. First one is a letter to finance to repurpose funds from one project to another. Project that the funds are coming from is the Slider Door project at the detention center. And, it's a $188,000 project. It came in at $137,000, just over that. So $60,808 left. So what we want to do is take some funds from that and slide it over to another project that is replace padding in the secure cell and two cells in the pretrial facility. We had a budget figure of $20,000 a couple years ago. It was approved in this year's budget. At more prices on that, the actual figure was $65,000. So what we'll do is request $45,000 from the $60,000 and transfer it over to take care of that. That'll be finance. So this is information every 90 days.
Any questions?
Quick question.
On that?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
How did we miss on the estimate by $65,000? Okay, just kind of swag.
It was, and actually, it was the follow-up. There was one of the companies that ultimately bid on, I think it might have been successful, better on the project. We didn't come up with the estimate ourselves. We have to go out with folks that do this kind of stuff, thinking, you know, about that. So we put that in, but obviously, when
they're
in a competitive situation, they
shop in the process.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, as we did prior letter, we have a motion to give our approval to Finance Committee on this one.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and approved to send our approval along to the Finance Committee for the repurposing of the funds for the pre-trial security cell. Any discussion? If not, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. send that along to finance. Okay, Mike.
So I'm going to kind of jump in a little bit with Mike's on this energy team, because I promised the committee a few meetings ago to give an overview. I don't know that we've ever had a formal kind of rollout of what the energy team has been doing for the county.
Right.
They actually put together back in, I think, early 2014. And so it was long before I came back, and Jim actually kind of spearheaded it and kind of helped work with UW Extension, put this energy team together basically to identify things within the facilities realm that can help us cut our energy costs, energy consumption and energy costs. And so the team had been meeting monthly for the past year, came up with a kind of a laundry list of things to pursue, got focus on energy involved, the energies, some of their engineering expertise to help us out, did some formal assessments of most of our buildings at this point, and kind of just continued to refine. And tonight, basically, we laid out an overview of what the energy team does. And so just formally identifying kind of what their purpose is, what they're focused on, so that the committee's aware that this activity is taking place in an organized kind of way. And then there's the spreadsheet. Mike can go through it a little bit more detail, but the spreadsheet basically outlines those projects, kind of what we know about them at this stage of the game and how we're going about pursuing them based on that combination of payback, if a piece of the building's infrastructure is at the end of its useful life, needs to be replaced. We're always looking through an energy conservation kind of a lens if it makes financial sense to do so. So it's just to kind of give the committee more formal insight into what's going on with the energy.
So you want to take a look at the spreadsheet real quick. It pretty much summarizes HVAC and LED conversions for savings. The assessments Ray referred to were pretty much at three buildings. KCDC, KCC, and the safety building. So everything kind of originated from there. And as we went through them one by one, we kind of see a pattern related to savings from building to building to building. It was almost kind of repeat every time we did an assessment. So we've actually expanded that a little bit on the buildings we didn't even assess, but we knew they were the graders. If you look on the first column, you'll see LED exit light signs, you know, five times. Well, they're a little greater. Payback is so quick, and it's a maintenance issue too. We don't have to be changing burnt out lights all the time. So we went ahead and bought exit lights in LED form for all buildings. Our in-house electrician is changing those as he has time to build it. Other LED projects are, right now we're focusing on the exterior of the buildings. We've got one of them actually completely done now, and three others shortly to be done. Even before this, we had started some LED conversions. There were just a few fixtures left to button up. We actually received a $10,000 grant from the state that we used to buy fixtures to complete three other buildings. We can say we have four done. So the goal there is to finish those by the end of the year. We say we have four outside lighting that we can get out of those four buildings. A couple other projects that with lighting, there's KCDC, KCC. There's a lot of fixtures outside in the parking lot. Some pretty major projects, but we want to get those fixtures purchased and have that done in house before the year is over. A couple of them go to HVAC, and there's some pretty simple ones and then there's some more difficult ones. We had a couple loading docks, two at KCDC and two at KCC that have air sealing brushes with the air can boost in during the winter and just lower the temperature. What we did is end up having new seals put on. Payback from doing that. It's pretty quick turnaround. Two projects on here is a couple of boilers at KCDC. We want to upgrade the combustion controls. That we're still looking at. We got a pretty high return on investment. It's out about 13 years. And we're doing a recalculation on that to see if it's a good project to follow. So we're taking a close look at that. Another one for HVAC is putting frequency drives and a couple circulation pumps at KCDC. Right now, the constant volumes and they run all the time, and you just have to fix high cost. By identifying when you can have them running at certain times at what levels, you can get energy savings that way. So that one is going forward, and it's about to go out and start. Bottom bottom of the list has got completions and almost completions. Those are pretty much what I referred to already. And then that, there's just columns that give you all kinds of different information that explain that we're trying to do.
Very good.
Is there a target ROI that you guys use? Because I see there's a variety of different, you know, maybe there's a target for this.
It's important to pick up the quick payback rate, right? And that's what we've identified first and foremost. At the same time, we don't want to do relevant things just because it's got a longer payback. For instance, with the boilers, we're not sure if we're going to do that. It's a high value project. The payback right now is between 2 to 7 years. But if you look at the life expectancy of the boilers, whether it's 40 to 50 years, and all of that, there's a lot of life. So you know, once you reach that, there's still a lot of savings.
And that's a key piece, is the life of the, so most of the, you know, so we've got some that the payback's 1.2 years and it's got a 5 to 7 year life, go for it. Others that have, like Mike said, is 13 plus years, but it's got probably another 30 years on it. It may make sense to, may not. We're just looking to see if there's other options to bring that thing down. Pretty much anything that's going to be under, I'm going to say 8 years and under, given the life of most of what it is we put in infrastructure-wise, is going to be kind of a no-brainer.
Okay. So when you say the quick turnaround, it's a relative quick, it just, but you are taking the total.
Life cycle.
Because you're like, it's 30 years and 13 state. Even though it's not quick, it's relatively quick. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, right.
So then the last sheet is just summarizing some projects that I'm working on. We have one at the job center. It was taking the elderly care and remodeling it into a large conference room. A two-phase project at this point. Phase this year takes care of pretty much tearing down a bunch of offices in the center of this room and putting a wall up in an L form to hold 100 people. The need for this is pretty much because when Amazon came in, Meijer came in, they had these big seminars for job searches. They just didn't have enough space for the annual. So when we get more and more of this, the goal was to make it feel the right way, have the questions in the facility for them to come into a use. This year it's a $30,000 budget to do that. That's going on for this year. The next project is the one I referred to in the spreadsheet at KCDC with the frequency drives. Just a little bit more information. It's a $23,000 project at this point. And that'll start shortly also. The third one is also one I referred to. It's the pre-trial pad itself renovation. We've got all that information already. That'll start soon. Fourth one is at the public safety building. We have some exhaust fans on the roof. There's 26 in total, all original equipment, so we're way beyond their life. This project basically just takes them off and puts wood up there wherever we can. We use direct drive motors and the belt, so we can do that. It's a $28,000 project. Hoping to use another 25 fresh motors. Getting the board ready to see that works. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Now, Ray, you have a couple of things here.
A couple items. Yeah, Brookside, just to give the committee an update there, we're nearly complete with the design development phase of the project. That's the second phase of drawings. So we're getting to that point now where we're identifying more specifically what types of infrastructure the building's going to have from a mechanical, plumbing, electrical standpoint. Hasn't been completely fine-tuned, but we've got those pieces pretty well defined and assigned space within the building. That should be done for the next 2 weeks, the design development part of it. And then we actually move into where the rubber meets the road, actually developing construction type documents, biddable type documents. Those will take until about October, because there's really going to be a lot of detailed digging into those drawings that take a lot longer to develop. But that's the goal, is still to get things done by October, early November, to be able to go out for the, before the end of the year. Project's going good. We're we've identified, as you always do in these projects, some things that we're hoping we're going to be able to do, but at this point, we're just kind of putting our hands around them, set them on the side, to see if we're going to be able to do them, to find them as add alternates, and we do finally go off for bids for the project, to see if we're going to be able to do them or not. One thing that was fascinating, the chairman indicated earlier in the meeting that the city has cooperated on a number of things. We submitted the building plans for conditional use permit. It was about 7 weeks ago now, and they called us the week of June 18th and said these are scheduled to go to the plan commission. There was virtually no questions on anything that we had submitted for the entire project. And they went to the plan commission and were approved with some caveats. And that's that there's about 12 items that were identified that they want to work out with kind of city staff and our staff just working out the details. But the conditional use permit was went through without a hitch. So we have gotten that approval from the city. That's a pretty big milestone. We weren't anticipating that until August. So that was a big deal.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I had to do work with my constituents on another thing, and I was sitting there going, this took amazingly quick, and I was just flabbergasted how quickly, like, yeah, let's work it out, we'll be fine, let's move on. I'm going, wow, hello.
Yeah, it was, again, I can't explain it, I'm appreciative, but I can't explain it. So it's good, but yeah, it certainly, Frank spent, I think, 3 times with the parking lot. You know, going back and forth on the parking lot, I think, at least 2. So it's just one of those things. In any event, that was a big deal. So that was pretty much it on Brookside. Any questions on Brookside? If not, updates on 2 things. One is under the general department report. We did meet with all the highway guys 2 weeks ago and gave them an overview of the class and comp study. Since there was a lot of rumor, innuendo, misinformation floating around. The meeting went probably about an hour. Bob Riedel came out and went through things. I would say overall the meeting went good. I think some things were cleared up. Probably 3 takeaways from it. This is just for your guys' information. The old guard, the guys that were kind of the 15 plus year guys that were in the formerly in the union. They were generally okay, I'm going to say. There wasn't anybody that spoke really strongly against it, strongly for it, kind of were okay. There were the new guys that have been hired at the much lower wage scale that are now getting bumped up to more market type rate. They were very positive. All of them were very positive. There's a group that's in the middle that were some of the early guys right after Act Then passed. There's probably about, I'm going to say, 8 to 12. Guys that they were less than thrilled, let's say, just because of kind of when they came in and how they were brought in and the nature of how things now got kind of leveled, they were less than thrilled. But it's kind of the way things shook out. So just thought the committee should be aware of that in case you get feedback from constituents that are highway department. And the last piece is the assistant highway director position, an update on that. We interviewed for that position just after we interviewed for the assistant parks director position. We were thrilled with Matt. I'm really confident that he's going to be a great addition. He already has been. Just is fitting right in with staff and everybody. Really good fit. John, there's a budding bromance there with John, so that this is a good thing. We had similar luck with the highway. There was a guy that we had identified from I would say another county that was an assistant director that was spot on, but he was unable to move, and his commute would have been over an hour. And when push came to shove, after we had made him an offer, and his wife is an established professional in that community, so it would make things very difficult for them to move. So we were not able to put that together. We've talked about what we're going to be doing for Plan B, and we're meeting with Bob Regal Wednesday this week actually to finalize what we're going to do to keep pushing. Goal is to get somebody on board, hopefully by the beginning of September, end of August, beginning of September. So that's what we're going to try to do. but it will depend on how we put things together. So that's where that one's at. That's pretty much it.
Very good. Do we have any questions for Ray? If not, I'll thank everyone for being here, and again, thank the folks from Pringle for hosting us. And I'll ask for a motion. Oh, I need a motion to approve last month's minutes.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Move and second to approve the minutes of our previous meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Then I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Move and second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you again.
Thanks so much.
And the thing that...